You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
How good, how beautiful is my wife? She's awesome, isn't she? I love it. I love church. Who loves church? Come on, somebody. Church is good. Church is great. You can grab a seat. Why don't you bump your neighbor on the way down and tell them they're good looking? Thanks, band. Chris can just serenade for a moment now. We talked about Chris last week. We broke the news. Don't have to go there again. But hey, I'm excited to preach to you this morning. And the more excited you get, the more you get into my message, the sooner I'm going to finish. Which means for those of you that come to the 12, you've got more time in the middle to run out and maybe get a Starbucks. Maybe you can shoot over to Buffalo Wild Wings and grab, you know, six wings, whatever. Or you get to go home early. So, hey, when I'm preaching this morning, I think it'd be fun if we were a bit interactive, right? Because how many people know that church is not just a spectator thing? You don't just come to church just to tick off a religious box. You don't just come to church just to hang out or do something or just to sit there and zone out for an hour. You actually come to church to receive something. So let's lean in. Let's have some fun together this morning. I've actually really enjoyed this week putting together this sermon. It's actually helped me a lot. And whenever I preach something that's helping me a lot, I know it's going to help you a lot. And I only really want to ever preach things that help me. I don't want to get on Google and find some other message that was something to somebody else and steal that. I want to preach stuff that speaks to me and stuff that's impacted my life. So I'm looking forward to preaching. I'm also really excited about our new series, Next Level Series. Next Level Series. You and I were all called to go to the next level. God's plan is not that your life would deteriorate, your life would get worse, that your best days are behind you. The enemy would love to tell every single one of you that your best days are behind you. Because when your best days are behind you, you have nothing to look forward to. When you have nothing to look forward to, your head goes down. Anyway, so I'm excited about the Next Level Series because I think it's going to be good for all of us to go to the next level. We're part of a next level church. We have next level leaders. Pastor Jurgen and Leanne's always an honor to preach on their pulpit. So let's give it up for our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. I'm excited. They are next level. You know, they're trusting us with a building. That's not, no, just so you know, this is partially my responsibility, but it's actually your responsibility too. We all shoulder the weight of the massive responsibility of what God's plan is for South Bay. And in case you didn't know, we're looking to close our loan in November, which is exciting for our building, 40,000 square feet. So we'll be getting those keys probably in 2 or 3 weeks. And then we're going to be doing some demolition. You can come out and smash a wall. It's going to be exciting and a bunch of cool stuff. So just keep your ears out for what's going to happen there. It's going to be great. But anyway, let's get into the Word of God today. Let's get into the Word of God. I think it'd be appropriate to spend the next 36 minutes preaching and learning a few things, and then we can, you know, go and have a great Sunday. Amen. But you know, your life, my life will rise to the level of my faith, your faith. Or it will sink to the level of discouragement or fear, your discouragement disposition. It will sink to that level or will rise to that level of faith. You know, the devil is after your faith. If he's after anything, he's actually after your faith. We often think that the devil's specifically going after certain areas, and sure, it may appear that way. The devil may go after your health. He may go after your marriage. But what really? What's the devil want with your husband? He's not really after your marriage or your health as much as he's after your faith. The devil wants to attack your faith. He wants to take down your faith because he knows when he takes out your faith, he's taking you out. Taking out certain areas of your life is not as important to him as taking out your faith. And when the enemy robs you and I of our faith, we end up living a life that is truly underneath what God's intentions are for us. When the enemy robs us of our faith, we forget that we're made in the image of God. We start thinking that we're made in the image of something else, like a monkey, for example. We forget where we come from. We forget that we're made in His image. When we lose our faith, we forget whose we are we forget who we are because we forget whose we are. One of Pastor Jurgen's greatest quotes is that, I love it. If all you get today is that, then you've got something. Don't forget who you are because you forget whose you are. When the enemy takes our faith, when he robs us of our faith, we stop asking God for great. We start accepting good. Start accepting mediocrity. Accepting. Just accept. The devil loves when you accept it. Oh man, I'm just gonna live month to month. That's it. That's my life. That's my parents' life. That's my life. I'm never gonna get a control. I'm never gonna get control of my health. You know. I've always been unhealthy. I've never been able to master that. That's just my life. I'm just going to settle for that. The enemy loves it when you settle and you stop asking God. You stop expecting God for something great. We cannot trust, I find. When you lose your faith, you cannot trust. You cannot trust God. You cannot trust people. Faith and trust, the same thing. When you've lost your faith in God, you lose your trust in God. Lose your trust in people around you. And the saddest thing above all is when we limit God to do a miracle. We got up and we sung that song before. You're the God of miracles. And He is a God of miracles. And He wants to work a miracle. But how can God work a miracle if you and I don't actually believe that He can? For you and I to experience a miracle, we have to actually believe that God can do a miracle. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God can do a miracle. Because I've seen miracles time and time again. I've seen people step out of wheelchairs and walk. I've seen God heal marriages. I've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle in my own personal life. So we don't just sing it because it's a nice song and because someone really clever wrote the lyrics. We actually believe it. We actually believe that we have a God of miracles. When you lose your faith, you live in fear, you live in doubt, you live in depression. And you know, as a pastor, I still face the same fights that you and I all face. We all face the same thing. Did you know we actually have the same boxing gloves? I don't have special boxing gloves. Did you know that? Some people think it's like pastors have like a special different life. Like, we box in the same ring, you and I. I have the boxing glove of the Word of God. I have the boxing glove of faith. I have the boxing glove of prayer, just like you do. And I have to put those things on just like you do. I get hit the same way you get hit. I get hit with fear. I get hit with depression. I get hit with anxiety. I get hit. We all go through this thing. Don't ever think for a moment that it's just you. Don't ever think, oh, it's just me. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess because no one else seems to be going through what I'm going through. We all go through it. But how you respond. It's how you respond. It's when and the thing is we often try and just have less fear and less anxiety. If I can just make my life so I have less things to be fearful of or less things to be disappointed about, if I can lower the bar so I'm not expecting much, then I won't be disappointed. But I find that the way to beat fear, the way to beat disappointment, the way to beat those things is not necessarily to try and make them smaller, but to make your faith bigger. That when you're in the corner and you feel like life is just hitting you and boxing you in the face, and you can feel fear and you can feel depression coming upon you and you can feel those things, that's the time more than ever to get faith among you, to get faith, to get those boxing gloves of faith out and say, you know what, devil? I don't know how to box that well, but I do know how to box somewhat, and I do know how to read my Bible. I do know how to pray, and I'm going to box you, devil, right in the face. That's what faith does. You know, what you focus on will grow. I know for me personally, the more I focus on things in my life that are a fear, the more they will grow. But the more I focus on faith, I find the more my faith grows. God's called us to live a life of faith. He's called us to live a life of audacious faith that is not afraid to ask God for miracles, for the miraculous. The title of my message this morning is Focused on Faith. Focused on faith. Let me pray and then we'll kick this off. God, thank you for South Campus, the 10 a.m. service, God, the most excited service in the church, the most passionate people. God, speak through me this morning. Not my words, but your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go and grab a seat, Chris, and we'll get you up in a few minutes. All right. James 2, verse 17. James 2, verse 17. Let's start there this morning. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith isn't too good by itself. Did you know that? It's not. Faith and action go well together. They're actually a dynamic duo. Like Batman and Robin. Dynamic duo. Ernie and Bert. Hey, Bert. Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time so much fun. Dynamic duo. Wayne and Garth. Come on, I can't do the voice, but Wayne and Garth. Come on, somebody. Dynamic duo. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. Dynamic duo. Soink, Scoobs, you gotta do something. I don't know, Raggy. Another dynamic duo, especially for those who were born in the 80s. Faith and action. Dynamic duo. Faith actually needs action. Did you know that? Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith and action go good together. They look good together. You know, so if you've got a spouse and someone sees you guys and you're looking good, you kind of know it, you walk in with a bit of swagger and someone says, oh, you guys look good together. That's what faith and action looks like. They look good together. Faith needs action. And faith without action is merely a nice concept. It's merely a theory, an idea, a nice fuzzy thing you can put on your social media, a little quote, a little thing you can put on your wall. It's a nice idea, isn't it? But without action, it's just an idea. It's just a theory. Faith without follow-through is just a feeling. Just a feeling. Faith without action is just a daydream. God wants to wake somebody up from their daydream today and tell you that it's not just a daydream. It's actually something that you're going to walk out, but it's going to take you some action. One of my favorite stories, and I mean, pretty much every Bible story, well, a lot of them are my favorite one at the time. It's just the way it is. I love all the Bible. I love many of the Bible stories. One of my favorite ones, though, is the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. It's just a cool story. As a kid, you just think it's so cool. You know, Joshua gets his army, they march around the walls fall down. It's just really cool. It's a cool story. It's just very cool. But Joshua had to have more than just faith. Joshua couldn't just have a word from God that he was going to take the city of Jericho. It wasn't enough for Joshua just to receive a promise. He actually had to go and do something about it. He actually had to have an action step, did he not? Yeah. Did you know that your promise will rarely arrive on a platter? Wow. We all want God to give us the promise, but God says, here's the promise. Have the faith, but then you've got to walk it out. You've actually got to walk it out. Joshua had to get his army and march around the walls of Jericho every day, day after day. After 6 days, you'd think they would have given up. But on the seventh day, he actually says to his army, this would have taken some leadership, hey guys, I know you've walked around this every day once and you're probably tired, but today we're actually going to walk around this thing 7 times. All day we're going to be walking. At the end of that, of walking around these walls 7 times, we're going to make a shout for God's given us this city. We're going to blow these trumpets. Don't bring a trumpet to church. Do not take me out of context. We have no trumpets in here. That will never happen. They blow the trumpets and the walls of Jericho come crashing down. I think God wants to tell somebody today to stop just living in the world that faith is an idea or a concept. Faith by itself is dead. Faith needs you to go and walk around a wall sometimes. Maybe your life is walled in by walls of discouragement, walls of fear, and all you've got is faith as a concept. Leave faith behind as a concept. Faith is not a concept. It is something that you need to take action on. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to work for myself. The action of that means that you get up at 5 a.m. and you work harder than you ever have before for much less money, because that's what the action side of it is. Oh, I want God to heal me. Then you better get up and pray. You better fast. You better speak healing over your body. You better not for a moment doubt that God can heal you. You better not confess over your body that you're never going to be healed. Faith plus action, plus the hand of God. 3 things. It's easier than baking a cake, people. 3 things. That's when we see a miracle. Faith, action, and the hand of God. Tragically, We'll have faith but no action. The hand of God is there. Action is what activates the hand of God. Let's not be a church that's so busy talking about faith, talking about the idea of faith, pondering together over a fine cup of tea, the concept of faith. Oh, yes, brother. Let's talk it through. Faith, 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 faith. We can't afford to do that. We have a city that needs to be one. And if we're too busy talking about faith and not walking about faith, if we're not out there marching around those walls like Joshua did, we ain't going to be filling a $9 million building that we've just bought. Amen? Amen? Let's not be a church that talks about faith. Let's be a church that walks out faith, that trusts God enough to actually step out and march around the wall. Amen? Faith and action, the greatest duos of all time. Now, I'm talking about Abraham and Jonah for a minute. This is kind of interesting. I found this week in the Bible and wanted to find a way to preach about it. Just these two stories, just the parallels on them. But Genesis 12:1-4. It's the call of Abram, who later became Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you." So God says to him, go from your country and your people and your father's household. Go from everything that's normal to you, everything that's comfortable to you, and go somewhere else that he doesn't actually tell him where it is. Doesn't even tell him the specifics. It's like, get in your car and drive somewhere. Where, God? God's like, oh, ho, 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 ho. I'm not going to tell you. Because you need to trust me. That's not how God talks. I'm sorry, God. That's not how God talks. He's much more masculine and cooler than that laugh. But that's what I believe he would be somewhat like. He tells you to go somewhere, but doesn't tell you where it is. Verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation, a promise from God. I will bless you, promise from God. Make your name great, promise from God. You'll be a blessing, promise from God. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You got to be careful who you curse, by the way. Anyway, that's another message for another time. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. Another promise from God. All these promises are laid out in verse 2 and 3. So then Abram went, as the Lord had told him. I love verse 4, because he just went. He went as the Lord told him to go. Doesn't say that he spoke to his mentor, that he spent, a year praying and fasting about it and had to wrestle with God about the idea of God. He just went. Just obedient. He trusted God. Faith in God, faith and trust equals obedience. Anyway, Jonah 1 verse 3, let's look at a story that didn't quite go this way. For those of you who know the story of Jonah, it's an interesting one. Let's read some of it anyway. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But, everyone say but. Jonah ran away from the Lord. Not a good thing to do. Headed for Tarshish. Tarshish. Interesting name. He went down to Joppa, where he found a large ship bound for that port. Jonah, along with his accomplice, Leonardo DiCaprio, gambled with strangers in a smoky bar for tickets onto this great ship. They won. And with excitement, they boarded the ship. Leonardo later met a beautiful upper-class girl named Rose, who was trapped in a dysfunctional relationship with her wealthy fiancé, Cal. Leonardo and Rose fell in love, but alas, the ship hit an iceberg and sunk. And Rose did not allow Leonardo to share the debris that eventually saved her from the icy waters of the Atlantic. Is that right? That's the plot from Titanic. Okay, the Titanic is not a Bible story. I'm just playing with you. Someone's like, I knew it. I knew the Titanic was a Bible story. No, it's not that exciting. Jonah went the other way. He ended up in a shipwreck. He ended up in the belly of a fish, and then he ended up shipwrecked on an island. It's much more like the movie Castaway. It's not like the movie Titanic. So he says here, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed from Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Two stories, Abraham and Jonah. Two different responses to God. One responds with faith, the other one doesn't. Because of fear, because of disobedience, he doesn't respond. Jonah does not respond. You see, the problem with Jonah, to cut him a little bit of a break, I think Jonah's up in heaven, like, watching all the people preach about him. He's like, another day. All the haters going to hate. All right, I just made one bad choice on one boat. I'm sorry, Jonah. Jonah was not that bad of a guy. I don't think Jonah was that bad of a guy. But somewhere along the line, Jonah lost his trust in God. That's all it was. He wasn't a bad guy. He just lost his faith in God. He wasn't maybe necessarily being malicious against God. He just lost his faith. He lost his trust. Quite the opposite of Abraham, who doesn't even know where he's meant to be going, just goes. He just goes. But Jonah lost his faith in God. That's why he disobeyed God, because he didn't trust God. He couldn't see it. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God doesn't tell Abraham where he's going. I just love that. God is so awesome. Abraham couldn't see where he was going. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. And assurance about what we, come on, someone else help me say these words. Do not see. We'll have to work on that a little bit. Different paces and speeds. Someone's like, do not see. And other people are like, do not see. All right, we'll work on that. We'll get better at that by the time we get in the building. Hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith is about the things that we cannot see. It's not about the things that we can see. And the question I have to ask myself, which is a scary question, is what things in my life have I missed out on because I just didn't trust God for what I couldn't see? I couldn't see. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for we live by faith, not by sight. Two different ways to live. You can live by faith, you can live by sight. Some of us can see so well, it's actually messing up our faith. Wow. Some of us have planned out our lives so well, it's actually messing up your faith. It's not allowing God's hand to be in your life, not allowing God to do anything in your life. You see, because if you spend your life walking out the pathway that you see, you cannot spend your life walking out the pathway that you cannot see. One pathway is your vision, the other pathway is your faith. And it's a lot easier to walk in the pathway that you can see than it is the one that you cannot. The truth is, I don't really have like a 5 or a 10-year plan anymore. And there's nothing wrong with having 5 and 10-year plans. If you have them, that's awesome. Go on, knock yourself out. Have goals. That's cool. But I find if I plan my life out too well, I'm going to limit God. I'm going to limit what God wants to do. We can't be too long-sighted, if that makes sense. And so often we want God to be a map. We want God to give us a map. We want to wake up one day and go to the beach, and on the beach there's the bottle, and you open it, and to Drew from God. Here's a map for the rest of your life. Mapped out month by month, things you'll do, places you'll go, people you'll meet. On the 1st of January in 2021, you'll go to a Starbucks on Bonita Road. Miraculously, you'll meet a man named whatever. We want God to give us a map. We want God to give us a map because we don't want to have to trust him. But I've discovered that God is not so much like a map. He's more like a GPS. And like, not a great GPS. Like the GPS that like you had 5 years ago, that you're pressing the button on the screen, like, come on, GPS, help me here. God is more like a GPS than he is a map. He's only going to tell you the next move sometimes. And you may think, where am I going, GPS? This is not the way I thought I was going to be going. And it says exit off ramp in 600 feet. You don't even know what the next step is. You don't even know if you're going left, you're going right. You've got no idea. God is more like a GPS than he is a map. Because you need to trust your GPS. but you only need to see your map. Faith is about trusting a God that you cannot see, to do things that you cannot see. But often we shy away from all that because it's too hard, it's too fearful, it's too stressful. So we live a life that we see, and then we end up like Jonah. We don't end up like Abraham. I want to be someone like Abraham. Trust God, step by step, even when you don't know what's ahead, even when there is no certainty. You're not always going to have certainty, because if you had certainty, you wouldn't need faith. God's calling you and I to live a life of faith. Amen. Amen. All right. One more story, and then we're going to finish this up here. Genesis 11:4. Tower of Babel. Who knows the story of the Tower of Babel? Some of you? Like a few of you? Cool. Long story short, these crazy people build a big tower out of pride, and trying to reach the heavens, and it falls down. That's basically it. Let's go 11:4. Genesis 11:4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves." Tower of Babel. Now just hold that thought, put that thought in the side of your brain, the back of your brain, somewhere in there. Hebrews 11:7. By faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, the last point, remember that, not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Two different stories, two different perspectives. The Tower of Babel was building a tower, you know, themselves, but Noah was building an ark by faith. And the Tower of Babel has to go down as being pretty much the worst DIY project of all time. Like, I don't know if you've ever done a DIY project that fails. You know, it's like you paint something wrong, or you do something and like, oh, there goes $10. I wasted $10 on this piece of wood that I painted wrong. This is like a tower. This is like much worse than your worst DIY failure of all time. And I'm into DIY. I like DIY. I consider myself somewhat a HGTV kind of guy. Many of you are. Many of you, there's a few guys in here that have secretly have a Pinterest account and they talk about it. But I know you do. And you go on that Pinterest account in the bathroom, or you go on the Pinterest account, you know, in your closet, or you go on. But I know you're doing it. I know you're pinning different things that you like. I'm watching you. I have a Pinterest account and I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. I've got a Pinterest account. I am somewhat a DIYer. I like to paint things. I like to build plank walls on my house. I just do. I watch the show Fixer Upper. Come on, somebody. Chip and Joanna. Come on. Living the American dream. I love those two. But I consider myself somewhat a DIY person. With the exception of IKEA. IKEA. Okay. Maybe many of you have not been to IKEA. Because usually when I say the word IKEA, there's a groan, there's a pain in the audience. Marriages torn apart by IKEA. Lives ruined by IKEA. It looks so simple. It looks so easy. That enormous cabinet can't be that hard to build. Did you ever play with Lego when you were a kid? That was fun. IKEA is like playing with Lego for adults. But it's not fun. It's not fun at all. You spend 10 hours to build something that saves you $20. That's $2 an hour. I'm not a mathematician, but that's not a good deal. IKEA. Last week we established that in heaven there'll be golden paths, there'll be golden roads. We know that. We know there's going to be bacon in heaven. We know that everywhere you go in heaven, there's just bacon. There's bacon stands. There's bacon coffee carts. You know, the people just walking around with coffee carts that have got coffee and bacon. They're everywhere. There's bacon everywhere. But in heaven there will not be IKEA. No, there won't be. In heaven, you'll have an app, and you'll say whatever furniture you want on the app, and it will just appear in your house, and there will be no construction of furniture required in heaven. But, there will still be IKEA restaurants. Those little meatballs are not going anywhere. You can trust me on that. Believe me, I've talked to God about it. We've worked it out for you guys, for the people. Anyway, I don't even know how I got there. Back to the tower of Babel. Back to the tower. Genesis 11:4. Back to the tower. They said, come, let us build ourselves. Let us build ourselves. DIY. Hebrews 11:7. By faith. Underline that. By faith. Noah built an ark. Tower of Babel. Let's build ourselves. Noah, by faith. Tower of Babel. Let's make a name for ourselves. Noah, in holy fear, he built an ark. Tower of Babel was about pride. The ark was about faith. Without faith, everything you do is DIY. Because you cannot trust God. So you'll do it all yourself. Which is kind of like doing IKEA furniture constantly. Which is just a horrific idea. We have Christians that think that their salvation is DIY. Wow. Wow. They think their faith is DIY. If I can just do enough good and not sin too much, then I'll be saved. That's what they say. And they count their sins like they count their calories. They've got the app. They track all the good things they do. They put it in the app. They track all the bad things they do. They put it in the app. It's not my fitness pal. It's my sin pal. It's an app that you track your sins. And that doesn't exist. I'm just kidding. Unless someone actually made it. If you could have done salvation by yourself, if you could have DIY'd your salvation, you would have done it already. You would have saved yourself already. But the truth is that you and I can't. We can't do it ourselves, which is why we need to have faith. We need to have trust. The Tower of Babel represents pride, which always says, I can do it by myself. Pride, I would say, is the ultimate enemy of faith. Maybe even more so than fear. Pride is the ultimate enemy of faith. And pride plus Christianity will just create you into being one of those, how do I say this right, like a self-help Christian, really. Pride plus do-it-yourself plus Christianity doesn't really work, doesn't go well together. And I fear that sometimes people have downgraded this book to a self-help manual. And yeah, this book is full of things that will help you. Don't mishear me. This book is extremely helpful. This is a manual for your life. But let's not downgrade the Bible to just something that will be a self-help tool. This is so much more than a self-help tool. This is a receipt for your soul. This is the greatest love story ever told, much more than Titanic. This is story after story of the goodness of God. This is promise after promise of the goodness of God. Let's not limit the Word of God. Let's not downgrade the Word of God to just a self-help book. You don't get this in the Tony Robbins section. This should not be on the same shelf as Awaken the Giant with Him. This is so much more than that. So much more than that. And if you treat this like a self-help thing, if you treat Christianity like a self-help thing, you're going to be exhausted because it's going to be a DIY thing for you. And you're going to be just like the people that go to IKEA too much. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be jacked up and you're going to be exhausted. Because it's not about all those things that you need to do. It's already been done. It was done by Jesus 2,000 years ago on a cross. You just need to have the trust and the faith that what He did was good enough. That He actually did the job that you're so desperately trying to do. Amen? Pride says, I can do it myself. Faith says, I cannot do it by myself. That's why when it says here, in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah built the ark. It doesn't say by skill or because of obedience or because of anything else. It says by faith. He built the ark by faith. It actually takes much more trust to believe that God can intervene than to do something yourself. And I think for us, pride is a predicament. Pride is a predicament. That might be a whole message by itself one day because there's so much to go into there. Pride is a predicament. It stops you from exercising faith. Because the more pride you and I have, the more we think we can build our own tower. God's not calling you to build your own tower. He's just calling you to trust Him. He's just calling you to have faith. And close your eyes. We're going to close up the service in a few minutes. Close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to close in 5 minutes. The thing I love about God is you can come to God as completely broken, and He's actually okay with that. Did you know that, church? He puts your life back together. God puts your life back together. He's a lot better at it than what you and I are. And you may be sitting here today thinking to yourself, oh, it's so complicated, Pastor. I'm pretty broken. I'm pretty messed up. You might be thinking to yourself, I don't even know if I'm in the IKEA shelf. I'm much more complicated than that. I'm in the broken section of IKEA, the section that is at the front of the store where it's like 80% off because it's broken, it's missing a part. You may feel like you're in that section. But let me tell you about God. Something that you maybe don't know is that He is really, really good at IKEA. God is really good at IKEA. He is really good at putting together the most broken, complicated, disastrous lives. You can never be too broken for God. He prides Himself on putting people back together. And you can spend your whole life trying to do it yourself, or you can just trust God that He can. You can just trust Him that He can do it. Because the truth is, we're all broken to some degree. We all got a little Jerry Springer in us, don't we? We all got a little something wrong with us, don't we? But God puts broken things back together. The question is, can we trust Him? Can we have faith in Him to do so? You know, there's a nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty. I don't know if it's a big thing over here in Australia. It's a really big deal. Every kid knows it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Yeah. As silly and stupid as that rhyme is, because firstly, like if you're an egg, you're not going to go sitting on a wall. That's just crazy. It's just, what kind of egg is this? No wisdom. But on the wall, has the fall. He's completely destroyed. The king's horses, the king's men couldn't put him back together again. Maybe there's somebody sitting here this morning and you feel like that's you. You've had your fall. Everybody around you and yourself, you're trying to put yourself back together again. Let me just relieve you of that stress. Why don't you let God put you back together again? Amen. God wants to put some people back together again today. Because religion wants to change your behavior. The religion teaches us that we just need to change our behavior. But relationship with Jesus transforms your soul. There's such a difference between transforming your soul or changing your behavior. And the thing about transforming your soul is that when your soul is transformed, your behavior will follow anyway. If you're sitting here today and you're far from God, if you're sitting here today and maybe you feel like Humpty Dumpty, if you're sitting here today and you feel like you're that IKEA project and you've been trying to put your life together, but you're just tired, you're just sick of it, you just don't know how to do it, you can't go there again, you can't read the manual again, you're over it. If that's you, if you're far from God, maybe you've never walked with God, maybe you once did walk with God and you've fallen away from Him, just while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, just wave your hand to me right now. I just want to pray for you as we close the service up in 2 minutes. So if that's you, just wave your hand right now. I would love to just include you in my closing prayer. If you're far from God this morning, don't leave here today still far from God. Don't leave here broken. Let God fix you today. Let God, the ultimate IKEA guru, fix you today. Thank you. I see your hand.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.